cliffcentral.com. Good morning, everybody. It's a Monday. It's the first of a brand new month, October. Ben is still giggling like a mongoloid after the weekend.
No, I wasn't giggling on Friday. I was in a state of absolute disaster. That was probably the worst experience of my entire life. And I've done some things in my life. That was horrific.
Horrific.
Ooh, cunty.
You know, I was a mess until Saturday night.
Really? Took you that long to get over?
Until Saturday night, I needed like 5 drafts and a brewery roll, and eventually I came back to what I thought was me.
Yeah. You know, sometimes you do an experiment, and sometimes it works, and other times it's a disaster. You blow up the lab.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're starting from a new lab today, which I'm very excited about.
Yeah. Well, in case you don't know what we're talking about, let me bring you back on board. So on Friday, we did our weed show, and
it was a mess.
So I did the edibles at 5:30.
I was gonna say, well done, Gareth. The fact that you did anything.
God, you're
because there.
Yeah.
And the fact that I mean,
fair enough.
Well done.
Honestly, halfway through the show, it was just Sia and I, because Ben had passed out on the sofa.
I couldn't get past.
Nola was
high.
A disaster.
She was not able to string a sentence together.
And I was really. I don't know how much sense I made. I must have been terrible. I don't know how anyone listened. If you did, thank you. You know, our apologies for a really crappy attempt at something. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. This one didn't. Ass, I'm so glad you weren't here.
Well, I was going to say, I leave you alone for a few days.
She would have held it together.
And now you're all potheads. I mean, come on.
No, the funny thing is that I really didn't feel anything happening until probably about 6:45. And then suddenly, like, it was just very hard for me to keep it all together. And I was trying to make sense. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I did.
So that means that you've got to take an hour and 15 minutes before.
Well,
for me, it should be a spontaneous thing.
I'm never taking anything like that again as long as I live. Mm. Didn't enjoy it. Wasn't a good feeling. Yeah, I don't like the feeling of being out of control. And I know that sounds really boring. And this is the reason I haven't done anything up to now, because I knew I'd hate it. I knew it. I just had a very, very good feeling about the fact that it was not going to go that way.
So you said you were okay up until 6:45.
Somewhere around there, I was still making sense. And I mean, I haven't even listened. I don't want to.
We
just deleted. We deleted that whole show from our memories.
I don't want to either. So it took a good hour and some change for it to affect you.
Nola's alive, but barely. Here she is. She's crept in. What's up?
Oh shit! Morning, guys.
Oh, where the girl?
Are you all right?
I look like a mess for one, and I feel the same.
Yeah. How did the rest of your weekend go?
Flip, man. Friday's a bit of a blur. Friday's a bit of a blur.
Yeah.
I don't know just how much I can say about it. But
well,
I don't know about you guys, but for me, Friday is all in flashes of memories. I don't remember consistently whole show. I was catching myself over the weekend going, wait, what? Did I do that? Oh, did he say that? Oh,
but now there are people who walk around like that all the time.
And that is why I wonder how you function. There are people who smoke weed and they say they can drive, they can work. It's normal for them.
There's no way you can do normal stuff when you're on that. And I mean, I think there were varying degrees of high that were going on, because Ben, you did the edibles and you smoked.
I had a puff, I also got puffed.
Yeah, you did both.
Yeah.
Nolo, you did both.
Yeah.
Maybe that's
Nolo
why
I did everything.
Yeah. But Nolo, you also did the sucker.
I didn't finish it.
Nolo was slow playing a sucker on top of everything.
I didn't finish it.
And I think you were nonchalantly just on that lollipop, not realizing like it will still get into your system. So I actually went and I did some research over the weekend about how these various things affect us. So for example, a lollipop goes straight into your bloodstream, because supposedly underneath the tongue there are these.
That's why you get sublingual medication.
That's it.
Which you put under your tongue.
That'll go directly into
straight in
your
system.
Minutes.
Sublingual.
That's the word of the
day. That's how I take my tranquilizers.
as opposed to eating something that will take longer to ingest into your system, or as opposed to just smoking something that will go straight into your lungs.
Well, here's the thing. Edibles are meant to be absorbed by the stomach and intestines. These edibles include food-like products such as cookies, brownies, candies, and pills. Although they take 30 minutes to 1 hour,
that's a good gauge,
to fully activate, their effect can last up to 8 hours. Well, you see, this was what was driving me up the wall, because finished the show, I went and sat at my desk and I was like, okay, this is, I don't like this feeling at all. I was overwhelmingly tired. The whole thing was just exhaustion, and I don't know why. I mean, I wasn't, it was obviously the effect, because I wasn't tired. And then I just realized I got to go home. Anyway, it's all good. We've learned. We will not attempt that again. In fact, I'm almost ready to just completely suspend Experience Fridays now. It's done.
Based on that, I said, if we aren't just smelling candles this Friday, then I'm done.
And we're stroking puppies.
I agree.
Candles and puppies.
I want
bunny rabbits.
Potpourri, ylang ylang, jasmine. That's what we need to do on Friday. Otherwise,
Friday we're going to listen to poems by...
Let's debate different Enya songs. That's fine.
It's going to be called the lesbian spoken word. For 3 hours, just sit there.
I don't want to do anything more. Because after Friday's show, I thought, okay, let's see how we cope with the day. And Ben went and passed out on the couch.
Oh, my God.
I couldn't get my head above waist height. The moment I did, it went crashing down.
So you were like a skittle.
So basically, gravity was 77 times stronger than me. And no matter what I did, I couldn't get my... As soon as I put my head up, I blacked out, basically. I was just...
How awful.
Yeah, it was horrible. Because really, the thing is, you can't shake the feeling off.
Can't get rid of it.
So Nola was basically glued to her chair next to the computer in the production booth.
Apparently, Nola spent 2 hours waiting for my sports blurb. Just sitting there going, Dory, I'm just waiting for Ben to send the blurb. Meanwhile, I'm like on the floor. I can't even look at my own screen, let alone type anything. And she's like, Dory, it's cool. I'm just going to wait for Ben.
It was at that time that Dory told me, she was like, look, those two are passed out in the other studio. So I think you should just go and join them, because no one is really being productive today.
Look, I'm glad I didn't pass out, and I'm glad that I don't know. I think I might have embarrassed myself by just talking a lot of shit, but that's as bad as it got for me.
But then what's new?
Spot on. So anyway, listen, thanks to the Seedside people, Peter and Monet, and then Ria and Mark as well, the worst guys, and a little bit of a different kind of show. I don't know that that's been attempted. I started the show. I started the show by saying, you know, there are a lot of people who say, you're just copying what happened with Elon Musk, but it was because of weed being legalized the week before in South Africa, and it was quite a big deal. So there it is.
And also at the end, we weren't sued for $20 million. So
that's true.
We have kind of come out of it.
Just risk-free, basically.
Sure. Anyway, how was the rest of the weekend? What did you get up to, Leanne? What do you do on weekends these days?
Well, I've become like working class.
What do you mean?
Well, it's end of the month.
Oh.
Yeah, beginning of the month, reports, all of that type of stuff, the really boring stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still doing tax. I've just finished my 2015 tax.
Wait, that was the toughest tax of all. Yeah, that was the toughest.
It's 2019 in about 3 months' time.
That was the year that stumped many.
So just square-eyed and doesn't really feel like Monday. It feels like a continuation of the week before.
Ay-ay-ay.
Not good. One needs a holiday.
Yeah.
Mm. 2015.
Tax. Yeah.
Oh, girl.
Yeah, it's bad, man.
It's like there's a vintage in every. Every grape producer, every wine farm has a one bad vintage. Yours was 2015, huh?
Yeah.
From a tax point of view. Yours.
And it just takes me really long. Like an Excel spreadsheet is like looking at a Smartie factory. It doesn't... It just looks like different colors. I don't really get it.
Me either. But it's sometimes you just have a thing against it. Like, I'm so bad with admin. I try and I get into like a cold sweat.
Oh, no, I completely get anxious. I do it on tranquilizers.
I don't know how Excel works. I'm embarrassed to admit that.
Don't even bother.
I've got it on my computer. I've opened Excel spreadsheets before that people have sent me, and then I know what because they, you know, they've put it in the those buttons. Those buttons at the top there, I don't know what that's Latin, that's Greek. Yeah, oh. I don't know any of that.
I was self-taught. It took me about 3 years.
But people tell me you can add up a column.
You can format
things. And create formulas.
You don't need a calculator.
I'm sure someone on YouTube will tell you.
Yeah,
with a thick Indian accent, but he'll tell you.
Yeah.
No, I should learn how to use Excel. It's embarrassing that I don't know. I think I should do that. That's going to be one of my things.
Experience Friday.
Excel.
Yes.
There we are.
I'm here for that.
How exciting.
Excel with ylang ylang.
Yes. By the way, what is ylang ylang?
It's a flower.
Is it?
It's a flower. So good it was named twice.
So nice you have to repeat it twice. Yeah. That's it.
Well,
it would be a bit ylang.
I did do something fun yesterday that I've been going to for the last couple of years. It's the derby that they do out in
Midrant. The horse jumping.
Yeah, show jumping.
So you had a lot of people next to you going, every time the horse gets to the jumpy thing.
Pretty much.
They do that, but they also
slapping
really
their thighs.
Had to be quiet because the one jump was next to the crowd of people. And if you make a noise, it'll make the horse skittish and then it won't make the jump. So everybody was going, shh, as the horse came past, took its jump. And then everyone would go, yay! I found something interesting out about South Africa, in particular Midrand, Kailami.
Most white pant ownership per square kilometer.
There was a lot of white pant ownership. That's not a bad guess. Highest density of horses in a residential area in the world.
Yeah.
Maybe even more horses than people.
There probably are. The people are lucky the horses let them stay there.
Makes sense. Probably the most horse boxes per square driver.
Sure.
Yeah.
So horsey.
So they do this show jumping every year. I didn't realize they're 4 days. So the first 3 days, no one goes
mini
to.
Mini derbies and
correct
child derbies.
And they
divorce
they
have derbies.
Divorce derbies.
That's one of the best derbies.
And they do the preliminary rounds and the finals and the semifinals and all that stuff. And then the big day is obviously the Sunday. And that's where they have the best of the best. So these are show jumpers. These are people who do this for a living very often. They get big prize money overseas. They work with that one horse for its entire life to train it to jump. It's an incredible thing to see. And people, there were interesting conversations about, you know, how much of it is the horse and how much of it is the rider. But it's almost like, you know, the horse knows what to do. It wants to jump, but the rider has to almost coach it. Mm-hmm. So you have to say to the horse, you know, you can see these people like, come
on. Like the build up.
Come on, let's go. And the horse is like responsive and it's incredible. It's quite something to see. And I've always loved horses. I think they're magnificent animals. And these are some of the most beautiful horses you will ever see. I mean, they live better than a lot of people live.
Mm.
They've got these air-conditioned stables.
Wow.
They eat really, really good food. They get brushed every day. They, you know?
Yeah, that's what you get told.
What do you mean?
What do you mean? Oh. What, glue factories?
No. Like, those horse people, Gareth, I'll tell you what, that's all smoke and mirrors.
Do you think a lot of them are rubbish people? Nasty to their horses?
Yeah.
But what do you get out of
Ben casting aspersions.
What do I get out of that? What, making a comment or people being bad to horses?
No. There's certainly that. There are a lot of people who are very mean to their horses, but I didn't see any of that yesterday, and certainly no one can show that.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't see that on Derby Day. Yeah. Maybe like Tuesday in June, you can rummage around the horse box, go hide in some teff and see what really goes on.
Oh, okay then.
Wow. But that's like dog show people.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them just own the dogs, and they don't really have a life with it. It goes lives with the trainer most of the time.
That's the thing with these people in these competitive fields. Animals are lovely until they don't do what you need them to do.
Oh, I see what you mean.
And then suddenly it's Jay's fluid around the legs.
Ooh.
Suddenly there's
what does that do?
Well, then it really hurts when you hit the pole, so it incentivizes the horse not to hit the pole.
Oh my God! Stop.
Ooh.
Oh, I really actually want to cry immediately.
That's horrible.
The end.
Like immediately.
Yeah.
I'm sure that kind of stuff is a lot more regular than it used to be. I know people used to be quite wild. I'm sure there are people who are a lot more ethical nowadays.
Sure.
A lot more regulated. But I mean, in the world, I'm not saying here, I'm saying the world of show jumping in general. Obviously, that's
tough.
Yeah.
No. No, it's tough for the horses, tough for the riders too.
Anything that
one girl came a cropper yesterday. She... she like somersaulted over.
No.
But she got up, she was fine.
Please don't tell me she was wearing like this poofy dress and
Why would she wear a poofy dress? You are such a misogynistic bastard.
No,
sometimes.
Not a misogynist. I'm just like, if that's the...
Hey, look, there's a girl. She must be in a dress.
They wear pants.
What else is she going to do? Not that just is, like a poofy dress.
A poofy dress.
I'm just thinking she's one of the guests there and she's wearing her Sunday best.
Why would
and
she
it
be
has...
on a horse?
Oh, okay. I thought she was a guest. Never mind. No, see, you can't go riding in a dress. You see, I misunderstood. Anyway.
How would the fall have happened?
See, this is why everyone says our horses are majestic and they're great. I think of falling off a horse, and I've heard many cases of horses trampling on their rider.
In a poofy dress.
In a poofy dress.
I just always picture my brother coming back to the stables. Hanging onto the neck of the horse with his face in its chin while it was galloping into the stable.
No. See, I still love my rib cage. It's too much to do that.
So I also had a fascinating conversation with someone about mules. You know what a mule is, right?
I've forgotten. Is it a half horse, half donkey?
Yeah. That's when you put the vodka with the ginger ale, right?
That's a mule.
It's a horse ass.
And you know that saying, stubborn as a mule?
Yeah.
It comes from the fact that mules aren't actually stubborn and they're not disobedient. A mule has an incredible sense of danger. So when they take these mules up these rocky mountain passes or down a ravine or whatever, the mule knows what it can handle. The mule is like very self-aware, they're highly intelligent, and they're able to tell this is too steep, it's not going to work. So when you beat the mule because it won't go down the hill.
Especially when you're on it.
And you say, go on, you stubborn mule. It's because it knows that's going to be too steep. You're going to fall.
So they're quite smart.
They're very smart animals. But a mule can't breed because it's half donkey, half horse. And they're infertile.
So sterile.
Who makes them?
No, you have to make a new one.
Ben.
You have to make a new one every time. You can't make...
They're born in the stable with Jesus.
So you've got to make a mule.
Every time. You have to put a donkey and a horse together and hope it works.
Gee, for these horses, huh? You're having a bad week and suddenly you come home to a donkey with Barry White playing and someone's got a whip saying, yep, this is it.
It's time to make a mule. Yeah, that's it.
It's like your friends go, yeah, you're always screwing the donkeys. Dirt of the donkey fuckers. Like, I just want to jump. But you guys want mules.
Yeah. A male donkey and a female horse.
I didn't know that.
That's the offspring. A mule. Yes.
Sheesh.
And you get mules that are female or male, but they don't have, they're not able to breed.
So they have organs.
Yeah, but they're not able to breed. They're sterile. A mule is, so listen to this. You get a mule and you get a hinny.
Yes, that's right.
Which is the offspring of a female donkey and a male horse.
And can hinnies reproduce?
And are hinnies cautious?
These are pertinent questions the topic.
Are hinnies a bit more debonair?
A mule and a hinny.
I mean, out of those two, which one would you want to be?
I'd love to be a hinny based on being called a hinny.
You like that?
I don't know.
Just but you like say it all poshly, a henny.
Henny. Come here, henny.
Yes, the mule, the size of a mule and the work to which it is put.
Put to work.
Oh, wow, there's a National Mule Day.
Depend largely on the breeding of the mule's female parent. Mules can be lightweight, medium weight, or, when produced from draft horse mares, of moderately heavy weight. Mules are reputed to be more patient, hardy, and long-lived than horses, and are described as less obstinate and more intelligent than donkeys.
Because they're not being distracted by hormones.
Yeah.
They just do the work every day.
Or show jumping.
If you were sterile, you would spend a lot less time trying to get laid and a lot more time focused on your work.
I mean, have you seen Randy Pigeons? They spend all day.
All day just trying to impress each other.
Yeah.
And get laid. That's all they want. I've often thought about that. Like, if I just had to, you know, get castrated or whatever. Because you know they used to do that to people. They used to have these, what did they call them? The word has just escaped me. But they used to work in the palaces of the Chinese emperors.
Okay.
And they were all castrated. What did they call them, man? Just gone completely blank. Well, it's something like that. You know, that's kind of where the Game of Thrones idea comes from. But basically,
A eunuch.
Thank you. Eunuch. Oh, of course. And they were basically the palace workers.
But just because you have your organs cut off doesn't it all just mean you have less testosterone,
yeah,
right?
Okay, well,
you'll still have a bit.
Let's say, because there are medical procedures you can undergo now that can completely rid you of those hormones.
Yes.
Right. And then you would be so, you would not be chasing tail the whole time, but you would be very focused on your work. Of course, you wouldn't have necessarily meaningful human interactions the way that you might have before.
Oh, they're a distraction. It's fine.
But think about how much time you do spend trying to get laid. You know, people spend a lot of time doing that.
When might you say just, spend the time, it's like all the time.
Yeah, it's all the time. That's what I mean. All the time. The whole time.
Yeah.
While we're on mules.
Oh.
And hennies.
Yeah. The mule is valued because it is stronger than a horse of similar size and inherits the endurance and disposition of the donkey. Isn't that interesting?
And donkeys are just the sweetest things.
Oh, they are. They really are.
There's an animal sanctuary, Woodrock, out near Midrand.
Yeah.
And it's got all sorts of animals. But as you arrive on this big piece of land and you drive in on the dirt road, these donkeys see you from so far away and they all start their little trek towards the car to come and greet you.
That's so sweet.
By the time you've had five conversations with five different people and they've just arrived and they've come to say hello. And they say goodbye to you as well. And by then they know you and they kind of nuzzle against you and push you against your cart. But
it's probably like, you know, scary, nice horses. You know, any single horses, you know?
Yeah.
Well,
can make mules.
A donkey's also called an ass.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to think this whole...
That's
like,
unfortunate. I'd rather be a hinny than an ass.
You know, this whole, like, creating animals. Not that I believe in higher powers or that kind of stuff, but there's got to be a big ego trip to go, ha, I made a mule. Take that, Mother Nature. You didn't think of this. Could be. Done this.
So
there must be, like, if you're a mule entrepreneur or whatever, I mean, if you're a mule maker, there should be a title.
Sure. But do you remember The Island of Dr. Moreau?
Yes, that's what it all sounds like, yeah.
Right.
Marlon Brando.
He was Dr. Moreau on the island. He made all these...
It's strange children.
Yes, and he made these creatures. You must watch that movie if you haven't seen it. It's
Which
really
was then
good.
Popularized by South Park's character of Dr. Mephisto, who then had a monkey with 12 asses. We must have a monkey with 13 asses.
Yes.
More asses. These poor monkeys were just looking at their asses going, why?
That is not healthy.
What about a turtle with another ass?
Who was the doctor?
I forgot how brilliant that was. That's great. If you haven't seen The Island of Dr. Moreau, it came out in 1996. Really good movie, though.
Yeah,
I mean,
dope.
I thought so. You know, anything with Marlon Brando in it, and he was in his decline, but such a great movie. He basically was a genetic engineer who put these animals together, and then he would manipulate their genes so that he could create these new species. And there was like a cat human or like a pig dog and some very strange creatures.
No, he made mules as like a side thing. His real game was like the humans and the things.
Yeah. And then he'd mix the humans and these animals, and it was
And he would treat them like his children, and then they'd, well, I won't spoil the rest of the movie.
But of course, the horror is always the way that it goes, right? They never tell the story about how this could go well. I mean, we might be, there are pretty decent sources around today that will say, you know, humans, there's something about humans that doesn't really fit with the rest of nature.
Mm-hmm.
Like we were tinkered with at some point. And there's a lot of information in our second chromosome, which is kind of a little odd. It almost looks like it's been interfered with. Mm-hmm. It goes for all of us. Like someone at some point in our history played around with our genes.
They are the Nazis.
No, it wasn't the Nazis. No, we're talking about 10,000 years ago.
Oh.
Well, I'm just glad I don't have a tail.
Some people do. Some people are born with tails.
Yeah, you get that.
I had a friend in primary school.
You had a tail?
No. Huh?
No.
Mm-hmm.
How did you know that?
No.
She told me. I never saw it. Oh, I never asked to see it.
I would have said to her, show me your tail.
No.
Yeah, pictures or it's a lie.
More asses.
Yeah.
More asses, more tails.
All right, we've got to get into some news. You want to know what's going on in the world?
Yes, please.
All right. Well, do you want to tell me some stories or shall I tell you some?
You tell me some.
Oh, all right. This is fun. This is fun. Let's do this more. Okay. First things first. Prince William has visited the British troops in Kenya and did some training with them. Did you hear about this? He went off to Nairobi and he decided to go and do a little bit of training with them. He's the Colonel General of the Irish Guards. He joined more than 100 soldiers in the bush for military drills. And he said, for us today is really about an Irish Guards officer visiting the Irish Guards in his capacity as Colonel of the regiment. Oh, sorry, this is someone else who said this. He's always welcome, and it's lovely when he comes to see us. That was Lieutenant Colonel Jonathan Palmer, commander of the 1st Battalion of the Irish Guards, stationed in Nanyuki, which is 200 kilometers from Nairobi. Isn't that lovely?
Does he have a henny?
He's probably got a henny. All right, you want more?
Yes, we want more.
Yeah. Tesla's...
How many gin and tonics did he have there?
Oh, probably a lot. Tesla's deal has provided ammunition for the securities exchange deal, the SEC's findings that we were talking about earlier with Elon Musk, has provided ammunition for a US probe and investor lawsuits. It's really not going well for Elon. Neither Musk nor Tesla admitted or denied the SEC's findings as part of the settlement. Neither responded to requests for comments. Of course, this all comes after Tesla's settlement with the US regulators, which will help soothe investors calling for more oversight of Elon Musk.
It all just got too rock and roll for Elon here.
Yeah.
Too many celebrities are blowing smoke up his ass to buy his car.
And he started thinking he was Iron Man.
Yeah.
He really did. He bought the hype. He got into it. And now he obviously has been slapped on the wrist. And we'll see what happens. But it's hit Tesla quite hard. They were struggling a little bit in terms of production capacity. But now they are facing a lot more danger from investors and shareholders, yeah, who are not impressed. All right, the city of Cape Town has relaxed water restrictions. That's good news.
Hooray! Restrictions or tariffs?
Well, they've cut tariffs.
Okay, because that's more the issue here.
Yeah, during a drought that's described as the worst of the century, dam levels in the province have now risen to 74% compared to 37% at this time last year. So it's looking good. Cape Town says water restrictions and tariffs will be officially lowered from tomorrow. So there's some good news for Cape Town. If you deserve it, and I think you do, you can have a nice long shower.
Just one, though.
Just one.
Let's not get into the bad habits again.
Please, don't get ahead of yourself. Also, a biker died after being shot on the N1 near Century City in Cape Town. That place is dangerous, man.
Was he on his bike?
He was attacked after pulling over due to problems with the motorcycle. Yeah, it's understood. Oh, it was a her. Someone tried to rob her and then shot her in the stomach. Good Lord. You've got to be careful in Cape Town. Emergency Medical Services spokesperson Robert Daniels said she was rushed to Grote Skier Hospital with one of the government health emergency medical ambulances, and she passed away en route. Awful. Oof, that's horrible. So one more thing that I wanted to tell you before we get cracking with Ben's sport this morning. No need to worry about the number of teachers leaving South Africa, the Department of Education has said. They said, don't worry, it's not a problem. Apparently teachers are leaving because of the following reasons. Religious intolerance.
Oh, I thought it was going to be pay, number one.
Class sizes, ineffective curriculum. It's understood teachers could earn up to 50,000 rand per month in other countries.
Yeah.
The Department of Basic Education says there is no need to worry about that, though. How do you like that? I didn't realize we had a teacher drain.
And I didn't realize a lot of it was because of religious stuff.
Yeah.
And that's, of course, because religion's still taught in schools.
Right.
One religion.
Correct. Well, it depends. You go to a Muslim school or Jewish school, and that's the religion. But in most government schools in South Africa, for some bizarre reason, it's just taken for granted that there needs to be an element of Christianity in it. And a lot of people are a bit upset about that. I mean, we had that one guy in last year who is fighting for schools to be secular, where schools should not have any kind of religious instruction as a part of the curriculum. So there we go. Those are the five things you need to know today. Let's talk to Ben and see what's happening in the world of sport.
Ryder Cup, Gareth. Europeans absolutely hammered the Americans. The Box had a pleasing win, and Lewis Hamilton wins a race of cars. Right, well, I was, coming in and out of sport on Friday. The Ryder Cup was taking place. The Yanks, Yanks got off to a good start. They really did. They did well in that first session. After that, it was all Europe. But, like, literally, it was all Europe. Molinari and Fleetwood got together, and they scored 4 out of 4 points as a duo. They were unstoppable. They just really were. It seemed like Jim Furyk was literally just clutching at straws, pairing-wise, and put out a very tired Tiger Woods for a second time on Saturday. Him and Bryson DeChambeau then got thrashed by them, the Mollywood pairing. And going to the singles, it was 10-6. Now, mathematically, that's it's doable. Europeans have won from there before. And it got off to a great start for the Americans. Justin Thomas and Rory McIlroy, first game on the Sunday singles. Tight, really back and forth match. Thomas won. Koepka took Casey all the way to the 18th. And unfortunately for the Americans, that match was halved. But then two really surprising results. Tony Finau thrashed Tommy Fleetwood, and Webb Simpson beat Justin Rose. So he thought there was a glimmer of hope. But it all kind of got into the Tiger Woods match. Now, Tiger looked like he was on tranquilizers again. The guy looked like he was finished. It looked like he had been boozing on the flight over. He looked like that sort of like tired dad. He's like, oh, kids, not now. I've got a headache. Just go play with your sister or whatever. And he just looked dreadful. He looked so tired.
Shame.
So spent. But this is the thing. It's like, this is what I feared. Everybody wanted to go and see him win the Tour Championships. Great thing. Really is. But the high of winning, the emotion, the actual strain that came out of Tiger, it was all seen on his face. John Rahm played like crap, but he managed to beat Tiger 2-1. And from there, well, Dustin Johnson lost to Ian Poulter. Thunder Bear Olsson smashed Spieth 5-4.
Sergio, love that name, Thunder Bear.
Sergio beat Ricky Fowler, who also looked mostly disinterested, 2-1. And then Francisco Molinari, 4-2 over Phil Mickelson, who just looked like a parody of himself. He really was. It was like some chubby dad dressed up like Phil and trying to play like him, because that's how useful he was the whole weekend. Patrick Reed was also terrible over the first 2 days. He was just an embarrassment for what people were expecting out of him. But he came good on Sunday, beating Tyrrell Hatton 3-2. But by that stage, it was all done. Henrik Stenson, 5-4 over Bubba Watson, who's a complete and utter waste of time. I mean, there's got to be a new rule for the Ryder Cup called the Bubba Rule. You get the Horschel Rule, which means that you can pick someone right at the end of the FedEx Cup in case someone catches form. But Bubba is such a lead weight in this. I'm sure he'll sneak a few wins throughout the season, so points-wise, he's on the team. But you don't ever want this guy on the team. He's just such a waste of time, especially away from home. And then finally, Alex Noren managed to win one up against Bryson DeChambeau, but at that stage, half the European team was already drunk. The booze was flowing, the songs were being sang. It was a joyous moment, and the Ryder Cup, well, it just remains one of sport's great things. And Le Golf National in Paris, what an incredible golf course. It just, and I've watched the French Open like most golf fans, and it looks a nice course. But put 60,000 people around there with the weight of every shot that the Ryder Cup brings, just absolutely sensational. It was a great Ryder Cup. Europe again winning that one. So 1993 still remains the last time the Europeans lost on home soil. Obviously, when we go to America for the next Ryder Cup, the Yank fans are going to be as obnoxious and dreadful as ever. So there's a good chance America winning that one. But then back in 2022, it'll be back in Rome. And I think business as usual again. So maybe it's just going to be one of those big home ground advantage things going forward. Either way,
all right,
unbeatable. Europe wins 17.5 to 10.5, their biggest ever win over the Americans, and this was probably going to be the strongest American team that we've seen in our lifetime. 17.5 to 10.5.
Wow.
And I was wrong. I thought the Americans would win this one.
You've had to admit some serious wrongs in the last few weeks. Ben, you're just off. You're off form.
Well, Gareth, it's the sword that I carry, really. I mean, I'm not one to sit on the fence, and I really think this was the first time the Americans were going to go over there with something. But they just couldn't find fairways. They couldn't hit a putt. And surprise, surprise, the best player for the American team was the only guy who went over and played the French Open this year on this golf course, Justin Thomas. What an absolute legend he was this week. The rest of them, they were too busy on their yachts, or they were too busy with their side chicks, or they were too busy... Just make an effort. It's professional sport. It's not like you got Excel spreadsheets to worry about. Just play golf and be smart about how you do it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was wrong. I lost money. And we'll move on. This is how we function in life. Over rugby, yeah, good win for the Boks. They beat the Wallabies 23-12 in Port Elizabeth in front of a packed house and people. You know, life's tough in PE when Bok fans just come out and they sing like the best anthem going. They cheer for everything. Pretty right. Average match, really, but this is the great thing about where the Boks can be. They can be average and comfortably beat a Wallaby team, which is, I think, where they should be. So even though, again, the Boks tackled way more than they should, pretty spent too much effort in beating a substandard team, 23-12, still a decent win. They, of course, now play the All Blacks this weekend. The All Blacks have officially wrapped up the Rugby Championship after beating Argentina on the weekend. So there's your 28% return on investment. I tell you every single year. But, yeah, Loftus. We'll get more into that as we get closer to the time. In football, well, Jose Mourinho still believes he's the big dick around town. But he's nothing more than just, well, he's a whimpering little dick now. Man United lost 3-1 to West Ham.
Wow.
3-1 West Ham. Arsenal, they keep winning with a manager that people still don't know the name of. So they won 2-0 over Watford. Man City were too strong for Brighton, predictably. 2-0 over there. Everton, big win over Fulham, 3-0. And then Wolves, they keep winning too. 2-0 over Southampton. Leicester had a good win against Newcastle away, 2-0. Spurs beat Huddersfield away at the same margin. And then Chelsea versus Liverpool, second time this week that they clashed, this time in the all-important Premier League, and it was 1-1. Salah fluffed a few chances, but 1-1 is probably a fair result in that one. And then yesterday, Cardiff lost to Burnley, 2-1. But yeah, big news for the football over the weekend was that Benny McCarthy won his first bit of silverware with his team, Cape Town City. They got into a penalty shootout with SuperSport United over the weekend, like most big cup competitions in South Africa. The football during the regulation time is mostly aimless. And then it gets to the penalties, where the first person cracks and the other one wins. So 4-1 was eventually the penalties won by Cape Town City. They are the MTN 8 winners, so they win lots of money.
Okay.
Hooray. In rape allegation news, Cristiano Ronaldo says he denies it's fake. So back in 2009...
He's been accused of rape?
Well, this is what makes the story so dangerous, because...
Wow.
Because of the nature of how we consume and spread news, is that an allegation is as good as a verdict a lot of the time.
That's right.
So it says here, I've cross-checked these reports, so this is what's come out, is that this woman, Catherine Moyogu, Mayogor, why is the names always like this?
Moyogu or Mayogor, which one?
Catherine
Mayogor.
Let's go with Mayogor. I haven't seen those letters put next to each other before. She claimed... that this happened back in 2009 at a Vegas hotel. She also claims that there was apparently a out-of-court settlement that was involving $375,000 US, hush money, essentially, as they say in the classics.
Ooh.
So this is what she's claiming.
Yeah.
But now she believes that the non-disclosure agreement is now void. So now the lawyers are looking for bigger money because it's Cristiano Ronaldo, net worth 2009, net worth 2018.
Right.
You can see a bit of a difference here.
So 8 years later, she's looking for more money.
Looking for more cash.
Because he's richer.
Well, this is the whole thing. But I mean, so we don't know which way to go the story, okay? So obviously innocent, still proven guilty in civilized society. So Ronaldo's obviously going firing with the lawyers and now suing. The publication that started this whole story. They're suing her, of course, for defamation of character. And they're probably suing me for bringing the story up. But this is what we do. We've got to run close to the line of danger here on the show. So that's something you don't need in life. You don't need rape allegations against you.
No, hell no.
Yeah.
But it seems that they're going on everywhere. I mean, the Supreme Court in the United States is basically doing a job interview, which has turned into a muckraking exercise against Brett Kavanaugh.
Oh, yeah.
And so many interesting opinions coming out of the woodwork there, too. People having things to say about Dr.
Ford
and people saying things about Kavanaugh himself and his behavior during this. It's just very interesting. Got into a couple of discussions around that yesterday. Sure. It's complex.
And in Formula One, Lewis Hamilton got told that he can win the race because Bottas needs to set a team orders, basically. And this is what makes a sport always so annoying. It's like, oh, team orders. Yes, they happen. Can everyone get the hell over it? Lewis Hamilton is going to win the F1 title for the year. He's a world champion. That's what he does for Mercedes. He wins the world championships. Does it really matter if Bottas wins a race? No, no one cares. People don't even know what Bottas' first name is.
They call him Bottas.
They call him Valerie, Victor, Valtteri. No one really knows. And now people get pressured about team orders. And they always have this whole dramatic thing of like, oh, is it right? Is it not racing? Shut up. Shut up. It's what happens. What next? You got to go scrutinize companies that leave the club sandwich for the CEO rather than the accounts director. Get it together, people. Sport's mostly a sham anyway. And cricket yesterday. Zimbabwe got rolled out for 117 on a piss-poor pitch in Kimberley, and then South Africa scored 119 after 26 overs. So mostly a forgettable game of cricket, but hopes weren't high. And you were probably watching Ryder Cup anyway. That is your sport for Monday.
Right.
More tomorrow. And remember, it is Springbok versus All Blacks weekend, so make your plans now to get stuck and around the braai. It's going to be fun.
Okay, very good. Just before we get to Said by Sia, a couple of messages that are coming. Mr. Schmangel says, hey guys, Gareth, you handled Friday like the professional you are. It's like you've been doing that shit for years. The rest of the team is just a bunch of soft cocks. Sia transformed into a giggling lunatic. Overall, the show was awesome. Next time, do shrooms. That'll be something. Peace.
Gotta go with no.
Yeah.
Awesome. Crypto Tryhard said, hey guys, following Friday's experience, Friday, Leanne should do a bit on warning new pot smokers to keep the weed away from their animals. Some idiot is going to try and feed it to their dog or something at some point. Better pre-warn them that the effects on animals are terrible before some idiot kills a dog or cat.
Yeah,
good point. Gosh. Well, I mean, I can flip it around. I've tried to smoke catnip before.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
And?
My lungs ended up in serious trouble.
So your cats hide it from you now.
They've got their stash. I don't know where it is.
Quick, hide it. Leanne's coming back.
But I'll look into it.
She takes too much.
Michelle says, it really was a stupid show on Friday. Thanks for trying, but I was glad once it was finished. Gareth, I agree with not letting go, Michelle. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Pablo says, oh, I'm sorry to hear about the death of Experience Fridays. I was really looking forward to Propofol Friday.
Jeez.
And Pablo also says, I've just managed to listen to Friday's podcast. I can't help but express my disappointment in Ben.
Jesus.
Ben, I felt so bad for you.
Ben could have
just not coped.
Wait, he carries on. Ben could have avoided this mess if he had just chosen to suck a dick instead of having a job. Dick never hurt anybody, Lissed.
Not at all, Lissed. Not at all.
Yeah, but just, you know, it wouldn't have come across well audio.
Oh, it's great. I do love our listeners. They're the best people in the world. Thank you for, you know, sticking with us even when we do stupid stuff like that. All right, it's time for a little Said by Sia. And by the way, if you're wondering where Anthea is, she is running a marathon in Portugal.
Goodness me.
Yeah, she's I saw pictures in her Facebook. She landed in Portugal. She's about to, you know, hit the road, and she's doing swimming and cycling. You know, the whole triathlon thing.
Ironman situation. You
know, she's doing all
or half
that.
Ironman.
I don't know, but she's taking it very seriously, our Anthea. So she's not here this morning to help us with the finance, and therefore we're just going to
be... That means there'll be no finance. No.
But I will tell you that Bitcoin is trading at $6,630 and Ethereum at $231. So not all bad. Sia, what do you have for us this morning?
Do you remember last week you played us a clip of Will Smith after he did that dramatic jump out of a plane? Yeah, he was celebrating his 50th birthday, whatever you look at and whatever you think about it.
He bungeed out of a helicopter.
And yes, he might have done it for views and has the world talking. The video has been viewed more than 2.2 million times since it was posted last week. But I found something interesting about it. When I watched the video myself, he was answering a couple of questions after the jump. And here's a clip, and I really do think there's something to say about this. He speaks about commitment, and he says that was the entire reason why he made the jump in the first place. And then he extends the analogy to all of us. I think it's the perfect message to hear on a Monday, quite genuinely. Sometimes we don't achieve things because, you know, the going gets tough and we've only given it half our effort. But he really just says, you know what, screw it, commit.
All right, here he is, Will Smith.
It's like life is hard, right? Like, yeah, you might get hurt. It's like, you know, your heart might get broken, you know? It's like you might lose your job, but you still gotta commit, you know? You gotta commit, right? You know what I mean? And it's like,
you know, you meet somebody and you, hey, you know, you like her and she likes you and you're hesitating, don't hesitate. Go. Commit. You gotta commit. You know, you might get hurt, you might lose something, but it's like you can't experience the joy that is intended for you in life if you don't go. You gotta go, man.
I like
so that. I'm about to preach this
wow.
morning.
He sounds like a preacher in that clip.
He sounds slurry as well, but you have to understand, how would you sound if you just jumped out of
yeah,
a plane?
Yeah. Hormones are all over the place.
All over the place. But I think the message there is so true for all of us. You just have to commit sometimes. We give up, we'll say, oh, we tried this, but it didn't work. Well, how much did you really try? Did you really see it through? Did you go the course and did you give it your all? And I think that's what we should apply this week. Just freaking commit.
All right.
That's your good. Said by Sia for this morning.
Thank you, Sia. All right, we'll come back with a little bit of news. We got some stories. Leanne's got some stuff to tell us about cabinet ministers and expensive apartments.
Mm-hmm. Or if you're a cabinet minister, very cheap in an expensive apartment.
Right. Well, I always thought they were cheap. But that's just me. CliffCentral.com.